3570.
The Duckies ruled the herd in Washington with a decision on the Senate race, finally in Minnesota. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. So it only took 8 months and 20,000 pages of legal briefs. That's a whole lot of trees, not to mention the millions of dollars in election costs. The man who once hit the bestseller list with a book called Rush Limbaugh is a big fat idiot. Al Franken, the comedian turned politician, is officially declared the senator of Minnesota after that state Supreme Court issued a ruling in Franken's favor. So Norm Coleman, finally with that death grip he had, wanting so badly to stay as the senator, conceded.
I just had a conversation with Al Franken congratulating him on his victory. And I told him it's the best job that he'll ever had, representing the people of the state of Minnesota in the United States Senate. Ours is a government of laws, not men and women. The Supreme Court of Minnesota has spoken. I respect its decision, and I will abide by its result. It's time for Minnesotans to come together under the leaders it has chosen and move forward. And I join all Minnesotans in congratulating our newest United States Senator, Al Franken. Just a few words about my legal challenge. Sure, I wanted to win, not just for myself, but for my wonderful supporters who have worked so hard. So many have worked so hard and prayed so hard and put so much into this effort, and for the important values that I've always fought for. I also thought it was important to stand up for enfranchising thousands of Minnesotans whose votes weren't counted like others were. After all, issues and politicians come and go, but voting is fundamental. It is the essence of democracy that I knew we needed to do everything we could to get it right. I am forever grateful and humbled by the people of Minnesota who have given me the honor to represent them, and even more grateful for the wisdom, their courage, their patience, and understanding over these past several months.
All right, now what about Franken? Finally, this can be off his back and he can get to Washington. He stepped out of his townhouse to talk to reporters, and this was his take on the whole thing.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much. Franny and I are so thrilled that we can finally celebrate this victory. And I am so excited to finally be able to get to work for the people of Minnesota. I received a very gracious call from Senator Coleman a little while ago. He wished me well, I wished him well, and we agreed that it is time to bring this state together. Over the last 8 months, as the nation has watched this all unfold in this state, Minnesotans have earned the right to take pride in the transparency and the thoroughness of our process and in the integrity of our election officials. But during the same period, Minnesota families have continued to face real challenges. So even though Franny and I are thrilled and honored by the faith that Minnesotans have placed in me, I'm also humbled, not just by the closeness of this election, but by the enormity of the responsibility that comes with this office.
All right, so he becomes Senator number 60, tipping the scales for the Dems, certainly, when it comes to voting, if everybody's on board, meaning you don't have some of the Democrats going in another direction, which that's called bipartisan, you know, Republicans here, Democrats here, a little bit in the middle, and throw some salt over your shoulder, just kidding. He is Senator number 60. He didn't put too much stock in that, though, saying that he was going to do what was right for the people of Minnesota, and he wasn't somebody who was just going to go along to get along, which is what Al Franken is all about. So we move from that to what some people call miracle drugs, Vicodin and Percocet, because of their risk for overdose and severe liver damage. Check this out. A panel that advises the FDA voted to nix them, and to also remove Tylenol and NyQuil. Acetaminophen is the ingredient in all four that provides dangerous results often that I just talked about with the liver, etc. Man, you think of Vicodin. I know that when I had my wisdom teeth pulled, they gave me Vicodin, and I would have fainted if I hadn't had those Vicodin. I only ended up taking a couple of them, but I have never felt so much pain in my life. Of course, people take Vicodin, Percocet, and abuse it, and they're also prescribed it for various reasons. You look at NyQuil, you look at Tylenol. You ever get one of those weekend warrior headaches that just will not quit? You've been out playing hoop or doing something else or chasing the kids around, the grandkids around, and you reach for the Tylenol. Could you live without your Tylenol? NyQuil. You ever been so sick you cannot sleep? And I'll be honest, why do you take NyQuil? Because it knocks you out and makes you feel better. They might take that away from you. They haven't, they being the FDA, hasn't officially said that's what's going to happen. But this panel, they put a lot of stock into it, so there is a good chance of that. And how about this story? What a miracle. A 14-year-old girl found alive in the debris of the Airbus crash in the Indian Ocean. You know, French inspectors are saying they found numerous things wrong with that plane back in 2007, and nothing was done. But I still cannot believe, with all the people that were killed on that plane, and we don't know all the details of it, of course, the fact that somebody survived, just this one teenage girl, is a miracle, is stunning. Every once in a while, and in my lifetime, I can't remember it happening. I remember people surviving on planes, and then other people were, you know, had died on planes that had a bogus takeoff or something else happened, like that flight in Iowa. But very rare when you're talking mid-air, and they were like an hour and a half away from their final destination. So this Yemeni jetliner that had 153 people slamming into the Indian Ocean, man, with howling winds, and they were trying to get in to Comoros, which is then one of the island nations, which was their destination. The fact that you had so many bodies that now have surfaced, and you find among the dead bodies a 14-year-old girl, that is just stunning. So, of course, immediately she survives. They take her to the hospital and continue on the way. The other part of the story is what I just mentioned. The weather obviously was bad. Here we go again, just like that Air France Airbus, right? Windy conditions, all that sort of stuff. So problems with the rescue efforts. Good thing they could get to this girl because there she was, and they found somebody alive. So you've got this Airbus crashing. You have the one that went down the beginning of June that killed all 228 people on board. What is going on? And this is a busy time in France. You got school vacations, of course, beginning. There were a lot of people headed home that were going to visit and whatnot. There were a lot of French nationals on board that flight. And the one thing that did come out is that the airline previously, that they released a statement that there were warnings about the safety, but they didn't listen. So here we go again. This is two. Man, if I lived in France, I'd think twice about jumping on one of those Airbuses. Coming up on the flip side, we're going to talk about climate control. Now Senator Franken will have his two cents to throw in. The Senate, of course, with a big job ahead in the next couple months. Hang with us.
Your relationships are a mirror of you.
That's good news, because it means you have the power to effect positive change in the quality of love you create in your life.
It's all up to you.
Join us, Joseph and Sarah Malinak, for Creating Your Ideal Relationship on WebTalkRadioNetwork.com.
We'll help you create loving, ideal relationships. Give us a listen at WebTalkRadioNetwork.com.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-8000. 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
Good day. Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. June 30th, 2009. Gold opened this morning at $942.20. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $969.20, $484.60 for a half ounce, or $242.30 for the quarter ounce. That's $969.20, $484.60, and $242.30.
How is it that we the people grow the cotton, weave it into fabric, engrave the ink, embed the strips and fibers that protect it from counterfeit, then cart the money off to a privately owned bank to have it lent back to us at interest, forcing us to pay taxes to service the debt? Is this capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when he said, a central bank issuing a public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar inside of a book that explains how the monetary system works. Call for your copy, 1-800-686-2237. Isn't it time to understand the system? Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Are you concerned for the safety of your loved ones? Listen closely to this message from pepperspray.com. Every 22 seconds a violent crime is committed. America has changed, and your personal safety is your first priority. Be smart. Be safe. Trust Pepper Spray instead of your luck. Pepperspray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. Pepperspray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. Pepperspray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Enter SAFE in the coupon box and you'll receive a special discount off of your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to pepperspray.com. That's pepperspray.com. Or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
I'll tell you, this could almost be the theme song for South Carolina's governor, Mark Sanford. Very disappointing, folks, really honestly, for me to jump on the airwaves and have to thrash Sanford, because I really like the idea that he was snubbing his nose at the stimulus, and there were a few other things that he spoke up about as a governor. I thought he seemed like a pretty strong cat and seemed very concerned and knowledgeable about what was going on with his state and super involved. But he was super involved in other things. And I'll go back to this again, because I've gotten a ton of emails on it. It's not about the affair. Yes, Democrats have had affairs. Other Republicans have had affairs. It's not so much about that. Now we're almost numb to somebody trotting out in front of a microphone and saying, oh, I screwed up and I cheated on my wife or whatever. It's one, the fact that he was pushing for sainthood and saying that he was all about marriage and family and was really rallying that. I mean, really, really, really pushing that. Right? Okay, that's one thing. But the reason why I don't think he's fit to be governor is because he is all over the map now. He's not right. He needs to step away from this gig. He's got 18 months left as the governor of South Carolina. I really, honestly, I would not want him as my governor. What is he thinking about when he's on the job? Now the latest thing is he told the Associated Press that he's crossed lines with other women. He also told AP that he met with his mistress 5 times in the past year. 5 times. Went to Argentina. So needless to say, the Attorney General's ears perked up in South Carolina, and they're reviewing his travel records because they want to see if the governor used money from the state to go and see this woman. In fact, I'm going to give you the quote. The Attorney General's name is Henry McMaster, okay? And he said, this is the quote, in light of the governor's disclosure of additional travel today, I've requested that the state law enforcement division conduct a preliminary review of all the governor's travel records to find out if any laws have been broken or any state funds misused. So here's the deal. He comes back last week after missing an action and nobody taking his place and everybody confused, almost like an episode of Where's Waldo. So he returns from that trip to Argentina that his staff and his wife didn't know about, and admitted to this affair and said he had seen his mistress three times in the past year. Okay, so now it's five times, and now he's crossed the line with other women. But what does that mean? He said he only had sex with the woman from Argentina, but crossed the line with other women. It's a nightmare. Here's, just to relive this, here's the governor in his own words.
I don't fully know the answer to the question, and it's going to be something I'm going to think about, pray about, talk to friends about over, you know, the days and weeks ahead.
See, and remember, he's now also said that he's trying to find the love back in his marriage. He's trying to get that back. I would say step number one, if I were advising him, do not talk to any reporters and tell them how many times you've traveled wherever and that you thought about other women or messed around with other women but didn't have sex with them. That's really not the direction to go in. And Jenny Sanford is like being hailed as the saint in this whole thing because she's getting clobbered. Of course she's getting clobbered. Every time something comes out about him, then people are wondering, wow, what was going on? What did she put up with? What did she know? What was said? All this other stuff. And remember, she released the letter saying that she was trying to stay in the marriage. So here's Jenny Sanford.
His career right now is the least of my concerns. My important job right now is our children.
And that's the deal. The important job is the children. So this does nothing to help the children by talking about these encounters or whatever. And now everybody's radar is raised, especially in South Carolina, because this is all too salacious for the news media there. So if there is any other women, whatever the situation might be, I guarantee that's all going to come out. They've already printed and reprinted the emails that were, wink, wink, anonymously sent to the paper, the saucy emails from the governor and the woman in Argentina. And now this anti-Sanford sentiment is really starting to play out, I guess, in the public eye. There are even conservative activists. We're not talking about liberal activists that want to boot him. Oh, he's a Republican. Let's get him out. No, we're talking about conservatives that are saying, oh, no, this guy's out. We got to get him out of here. There's about 400 people that are ready to roll on this rally next week. And what the deal is and what they're saying, and this guy who's organizing the rally, his name is Glenn McCall. He's one of South Carolina's three Republican National Committee members. So this is a Republican. This is a National Committee member. He's saying that there are not enough Republican leaders in the legislature that are calling for him to step down, that there is no leadership out of the Republican majorities in the House and the Senate, so we have to go to the State House steps and have a rally. And you know what I say to that? Bravo. This is not somebody saying, aha, we got another Republican. Bang, bang, you're dead. You admitted to an affair, and now you've said a bunch of other nutty things. No, these are Republicans, conservatives, who don't want someone to represent them that way. So bravo for them. And while the governor is saying all this other nonsense, he also took time to make some phone calls to a GOP chairman around the state to apologize and ask them for a chance to work together over the next 18 months to help restore the public trust. But see, here's the thing. Why should you have to restore the public trust? If you don't get in this situation in the first place, then we don't even have to cross this bridge. My God, are we not dealing with enough in this country? And if he came back, admitted the affair, said that, you know, look, my staff must have been covering up for me, just kind of laid it out there, then that's it. He is, to me, he just is incapable of leading because of this behavior. And he should have just learned his lesson and just shut up about all this stuff. So all this nonsense pouring out is just killing him. He's throwing gasoline on himself. Oh. All right, I mentioned at the top of the show Vicodin and Percocet and the fact that the FDA advisors are saying take it off the market. Boy, I bet you people are scrambling. And sadly, you know, these teenagers that have these farm parties where they get all these drugs from their parents' medicine cabinets, Vicodin is heavily pushed in those. Percocet, too, something that's readily available from what I understand. And I'll be curious as to how long it would take to yank it when once they say, okay, enough of this because too many people are dying as a result. And remember, with Michael Jackson, one of the things that, of course, is being talked about is that he suffered from massive bouts of insomnia. He was a walking pharmacy. He was 125 pounds, a bag of bones, and he was pleading, apparently, for some kind of a sedative, even though he knew the harmful effects of it. A nutritionist has now come out and said she worked with Michael Jackson, and he was begging, I mean literally begging, for something, anything, any kind of sedatives, and she wouldn't give him the sedatives, knowing what it could do to Jackson. So this is another example as this panel goes down that path. But now I'm thinking, look in your medicine cabinet. What do you have? NyQuil. I look tonight. Luckily, knock on wood, I'm very healthy for the most part. If you hear that I'm ill and I miss America tonight, then I'm really ill. But occasionally I get colds. Occasionally I take NyQuil. And it's been like a miracle thing for me since I'm not very sickly. And when I get feeling brutal, that's the one thing that helps me, you know, with that whole cold stuff. So I have that. Of course I have Tylenol in playing tennis or running or doing whatever. Occasionally take Tylenol. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I definitely don't abuse it. I definitely haven't had very much Tylenol. But certainly in my head, it's the thing that makes me feel better. Whew, where am I going to be without my NyQuil and my Tylenol? Percocet, Vicodin, like I said, not my bag. I haven't been prescribed it for anything except for the time at the dentist's office. And it was like 3 Vicodin or something. And it did help me. If I hadn't had the Vicodin, it would have been a really tough road for me since all the anesthesia, of course, wore off. I promise we'd talk about climate control, which I mentioned Al Franken now will have a stake in this one when the Senate gets the ball tossed to them, rather. We're going to talk about it next on America Tonight.
Did you know many vitamin and mineral supplements on the market are made from rocks and ground-up shells? Think about that. Would you swallow a handful of shells you found at the beach? Our body wasn't designed to digest rocks and shells. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman, formulator of Choose for Health, a delicious-tasting, chewable dietary supplement derived from 16 fruits, vegetables, and antioxidants. Unlike hard-to-digest pills, Choose for Health is a convenient chewable which allows for better digestion. The choice is yours. Swallow rocks and shells to supplement your diet or a natural chewable product you can better digest. Choose for Health, the world's first superfruit, sea vegetable, antioxidant chewable. Whole food nutrition, not rocks and shells. 1-800-210-1922. Call now and receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. 1-800-210-1922. Or go to orderchoose.com.
The GCN Radio Network. Providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh. Healthy. Easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's gardeninacan.com or call 866-598-7396. 866-598-7396.
The phone rings and the questions are asked. I've been so sick. Will the Life Change Tea help me? Our answer is always the same. Yes, toxins and chemicals from food, water, and air are attacking you this very moment. Fight back with our all-natural detoxifying tea that works immediately. Many companies use gimmicks and misleading free trials for their campaign. We use results. Life Change Tea's formula, created by a PhD, has been around for over 20 years. There are things happening in the world that are unseen and not healthy. The public has reached its all-time record for chronic sickness. This atrocity won't change unless you call us right now. Our number is 928-308-0408. Again, that's 928-308-0408. Or you can order online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. And remember, we have the cheapest shipping in the industry.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more, all at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
Climate bill passed the House, razor-thin margins, though, on Friday. Now it's up to the Senate. Already, it might not happen until the fall, the debate over climate control. But, of course, the president is really pushing and trying to do what he can to maneuver among the senators to get the senators to vote off on this as well. I think it's going to be much tougher than the House. Cal Beiser is joining us now. He joined us a couple of weeks ago to talk about the climate and what about global warming and all that kind of stuff and what are the myths and what does he think the facts are. And he's with the Cornwall Alliance, so we're pleased to have him back again. Cal, thanks for popping back on America Tonight.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity, Kate. It's good to be back with you.
Okay, so the House passes this. Were you surprised? Now, it was a really close vote, I'll say that. I wasn't sure. It was coming down to the wire, but it did go the other way.
Yeah, it was very close indeed, 219 to 212, so just seven votes between them. If four out of the eight Republicans who voted yes had voted no instead, the bill would have failed. There were about 40-some Democrats who voted no. If just four more of those had voted no instead, the bill would have failed. It was close. I wasn't really surprised that it passed. The Democratic leadership in the House has a very strong hold there, and they did an enormous amount of wheeling and dealing, which is part of what led to putting a 360-page amendment to the bill at 3 o'clock in the morning on Friday when it was to be debated and voted on that very day. Nobody much had time to read it all except Minority Leader John Boehner, who took the time to read the whole thing and then read large parts of it aloud from the floor, which kind of scandalized people because there were a lot of parts that were just incredibly strange, creating new agencies and federal intrusion into people's lives. That's quite shocking. for instance, creating federal housing codes for how houses are to be built to make sure that they have the right outlets to recharge your electric car in your garage. And these would supplant local and regional building codes in states all over the country.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, too. I was talking a lot about this. What does it mean for the everyday man? That do they understand ultimately, of course, we're talking about now the president saying, oh, too much reliance on oil and we have to get away from that. And we have to go with wind and solar and hydro and geothermal and all that sort of stuff. But if you look at what utilities will have to do and then you look at how incredibly expensive the mandate would be in the Southeast, you are going to pay, I'm serious, you are going to pay maybe double, who knows, maybe even triple, dare I say, for your electricity.
Yeah, in fact, the Center for Data Analysis of the Heritage Foundation has run a very thorough economic model forecast of the costs of this legislation if it were to become law. It would increase the average household's expenses by about $4,600 a year, $1,200 of that direct energy costs, and the other $3,400 a year in the cost of everything else rising in price because energy itself is used in making everything that we buy. It had reduced gross domestic product by about $9.4 trillion between now and 2035. It had lower employment by about 1.1 million jobs in the average year. That would reach 2.5 million in 2035. And it raised the national debt so much that by the year 2035, the average family of four in America would owe an extra $115,000 as its share of the national debt. All of that would be to achieve two things, supposedly, according to the bill's supporters. One, create green jobs, and two, lower future temperatures. Well, the economic analysis indicates that for every green job that was created, at least two jobs would be lost, and in fact, the Heritage Foundation says that we'd be losing an average of 1.1 million jobs in any given year from now to 2035. And as far as temperature reduction, well, might achieve 0.9 degrees by the year 2050, which can't even be measured, and it's just a statistical artifact that has nothing to do with affecting life on Earth.
Yeah, and plus, Cal, you know this, in talking about the job situation, all this about creating green jobs, and then as you just said, the statistic on the jobs you would actually lose, what also would be part of this is that many industries would, frankly, just outsource. They would just leave, and no matter what penalties they would so-called get thrown on top of them for subbing more work out beyond our borders, a lot of industries would be forced to do that, and I think that's exactly what they would do. So I think that means, on top of that, even many more jobs.
Oh, absolutely. And that's a large part of the reason for why the Heritage Foundation forecasts losing so many jobs. Industries that found it very expensive to reduce carbon emissions would, as you say, simply outsource. They would move their plants overseas and do more of their work over there. The ironic thing about that, Kate, is that when they did that, the result would be even higher CO2 emissions than would happen without this bill, because in the developing countries to which these industries would move, energy efficiency is much lower than it is here in the United States. In other words, it takes more kilowatts of energy to produce $1,000 worth of product in, say, Bangladesh than it does here. And consequently, and they're also getting that energy from dirtier, less efficient generating plants. So the bill really, when you count that in, it's quite likely that the bill would be raising temperatures in the long run rather than lowering temperatures. But then nobody counted on Congress to think about the unintended consequences.
Yeah, no kidding. And speaking of the unintended consequences, now, of course, what the president is doing is he's warning everyone pretty much on the Hill, because he knows, obviously, this goes next to the Senate, to think about this provision in the cap-and-trade bill, right, that allows the U.S. to impose tariffs on other countries. So, because there was kind of this back and forth with Canada, if you have this so-called protectionist measure, imagine that on imports from countries that don't have a system that would limit global warming pollution. So Obama knows that this could be the death knell for the bill. So that's why he's now saying, oh, you know, we might think about this because it's got to be a level playing field and the economy worldwide is in a recession. Give me a break.
Yeah, and it's quite fascinating because in this case the cure is going to be much worse than the disease. You know, Kate, when the United States economy went into a tailspin at the start of the Great Depression, Congress responded by trying to protect American jobs with what's called the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act. And the idea was to put a big tariff on imports from foreign countries, and that way we would make American workers more competitive and keep employment here. Well, all that did was cause foreign countries to put more tariffs on American goods, so we wound up losing employment here. The Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act is one of the main reasons why the fairly moderate recession that started the Great Depression turned into the Great Depression. We've got a fairly severe recession going on right now in the United States, and we will certainly turn it into a Great Depression if we wind up with a tariff battle generated by trying to protect American jobs from competition overseas when we've made the jobs so much more expensive here because of our cap and trade legislation.
Yeah, and it'll be an incredible battle. And this is what I said on last night's show. If you're not happy and you're paying attention to some of the things that we're saying, and it's easy to get some of this material, you gave some references to various statistics, then what you do is, guess what? You call or you write or you do something as far as your senator is concerned, because I think if there's more pressure from the American people, there's a better chance it might not pass.
Yeah, that's correct. And people can come to cornwallalliance.org and see some of our materials right there online. They can also sign up for our electronic newsletter, and they'll be receiving information on this from time to time through this summer and into the fall. They can also go to wegetit.org, wegetit.org, and sign up for the We Get It newsletter there as well endorsing the WeGetIt.org declaration, and they'll get some very good information there. They can come up with a lot of facts and figures that they can pass on to their members of the U.S. Senate. And it certainly is a time for Americans to make their desires known, because it doesn't seem as if a lot of congressmen in the House were really listening very well to their constituents. They were listening more to the businesses that were lobbying them in order to get legislation that would favor them in competition.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Cal, always nice to catch up with you. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you down the road.
Well, thanks to you too, Kate. Take care.
You too. All right, so serious stuff, but I think that the Senate, like I said before, the way it looks, even from what Harry Reid said, I think you're talking about the fall by the time this hot potato goes for a vote. It doesn't mean that their lobbying hasn't stopped, so that actually gives you time to think about it, go to some of those sites, and really get a handle, and plus we're doing that obviously on this show as well, get a handle on what it would mean to you and what it would mean to this country. Odds and Ends coming up around the bend here on America Tonight.
You've probably heard about the incredible, powerful, and natural antioxidants found in red wine. Unfortunately, not everyone is able to drink a glass of wine each day. Now, you don't have to drink even a single drop, thanks to NuRev. NuRev is America's number one anti-aging supplement, thanks to its active ingredient, resveratrol. Resveratrol is the main nutrient found in red wine and has been proven to help slow down the aging process, help you lose weight, override an unhealthy lifestyle, boost your energy level, and so much more. NuRev has been the subject of some of the most exciting anti-aging research in decades and has only recently become available in purified form. Now, you can discover the amazing health benefits of NuRev for free. Just pay to have NuRev shipped to you. Get your free sample now at NuRevOnline.com. That's N-U-R-E-V online.com. NuRevOnline.com. Improve your life today.
Economy have you down?
Scared you might lose your job?
Worry how you will provide for your family?
Do you worry where your money will come from? You know that the economy is getting worse,
but there is hope.
Robert Beadle's new book, Here's What You Do, tells you what to do and how to do it. Even a 10-year-old can figure it out after reading this 72-page book. And the best part? This book is priced under $10. Don't be the victim. Be a victor. Go to hereswhatyoudo.net. That's hereswhatyoudo.net. Again, hereswhatyoudo.net.
Wondering about your retirement portfolio? Is your financial advisor experienced enough to combat rising interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. With 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations, who needs sugar-coated excuses? Get the cold hard facts and a proven investment strategy. For a free introductory copy to the International Forecaster, call 877-479-8178 or go to theinternationalforecaster.com. That's 877-479-8178. 877-479-8178.
If you've always wanted to experience the amazing benefits from using oil of oregano, the time to act is now. With so many places to choose from, where can you be 100% certain you're getting the highest quality oil for your dollar? The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com brings you ultra-pure, non-diluted oil of oregano with 80% or better carvacrol. PureBulk.com also carries over 120 nutritional products, including atomic iodine, amino acids, herbal extracts, and heart health, all made with no fillers, additives, or fancy packaging, saving you 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. With each order, PureBulk.com will send you 1 dram of atomic iodine, a 150-day supply, absolutely free. Just enter promotional code IODINE at website checkout. Visit PureBulk.com, that's PureBulk.com, or call 406-251-3270, 406-251-3270 today.
Ever play one of your siblings in a sport just for fun? And I have. My brother and I practically killed each other on the tennis courts when we were kids. He really played hockey and I played tennis, but he was a decent enough tennis player. But we didn't play well together when we were competitive one-on-one. If there are other people involved, it's okay. And you're saying, why is she bringing this up on America Tonight? All right, the reason why is because in sports shorts, Venus and Safina are meeting in the Wimbledon semis. Could you be on a showdown to see the Williams sisters take on each other again in a finals? I think that's got to be pretty tough. They both have enough hardware, and they both made a ton of money, so I guess that's the good news there. But the first time they played each other, I was at the match. It was in New York at the U.S. Open, and it was very odd. It just had a weird feeling. Of course, immediately people are thinking that the father, Richard Williams, stacked the deck and is telling one of them to win, let the other one win. But I don't think that happened at all. I think that was stupid rumors that were started. But how tough would that be to take on, you know, your brother? It's kind of like the Manning brothers in football. How amazing is it that both of them have won a championship? Both of them have gone to the Super Bowl and they've won. But, and remember there was the, I think it was either a Sunday, it was a Sunday night game that they played each other as respectively quarterback for Indianapolis and Peyton and little brother quarterback for the Giants. But imagine if that scenario were to go down in the Super Bowl, boy, that would be weird for the family, wouldn't it be? I don't know. I think it'd be tough. I think it'd be pretty tough to face your sibling, whether you were close, unless you had completely bad blood between you. Then maybe it would be a little bit different. So the Williams sisters could be on course to crash again in the finals. Hey, Matt, we'll ask you. We'll use you as our guinea pig. You have a sister. Do you two ever compete against each other? I mean, even with card games or games, do you play well together?
I'm very competitive. I think I'm more competitive than she is. So especially sports-wise and just things like games in general, I'm always have been the more competitive one. So I think it's probably me more than her, and I definitely would probably rub it in.
Okay, so then she would be okay because she just lets you have it. She's not gonna get all up in your chill.
She lets me have it. I just beat her.
Right, but you beat her and she's not gonna be just completely crushed by that. In other words,
I don't think so. She'd probably just yell at me for making a big spectacle about it or something like that.
Well, in my case, it's just not good. It's almost better. It would almost be better for me to let my brother win, but I can't do that. I'm like you. I'm just too competitive. I'm not nasty competitive, but enough that I just can't do that. I can't go there. So it's almost better if we don't take each other on, in other words. So the whole tennis thing, that hasn't happened in a very, very long time. Because whatever happens, I'm not going to be able to get away with it. If I lob a couple of shots up too much, then it's like, oh, you're playing sissy tennis. If I drill the ball at them or hit a winner, then I'm showing off. So there's no winning in that case.
Yeah, and I think I'm more competitive with my best friend, Brad. No matter what sport we're playing or even if it's a video game, like we play Madden all the time together, if I lose to him, it ruins my day. Because I can't stand losing to him.
He can't stand it.
I can't stand it. It's terrible. I can't handle it. So I don't.
All right, so now we know where we stand competitively. Good thing Matt and I aren't related because we would kill each other most likely. You know, I'm a good competitor. I'm a good sport. I will say that. But I think it's interesting with the Williams sisters. They do seem to compete pretty well against each other. They grew up playing. It's a phenomenal story. And they end up meeting so often in the finals. Sam is listening to us across the border in Montreal. Hello, Sam.
Where me and my sister are complete opposites. Like when she used to take my nephews to play hockey, she'd be sitting there reading her book, while other parents would be cheering them on. And another parent would go up to her and say, wasn't that a great game? My sister's attitude was, hey, as long as they're having fun. Because you just mentioned the Williams sisters, so I figured, you know, my sister's, you know, the complete opposite. Where my brother-in-law, he really got into it. So, you know, always yelling.
Right, so it wasn't about having fun. It was about being competitive.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, in fact, the first year they played organized hockey together. They played on in the same league, but on different teams. They played in the championship final. So even though it was like, you know, little kids, you would not believe what it was like. Breakfast that morning.
Yeah, trash talking, playing the dozens, going back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, you know, 9 to 10. You know, here they are. A couple, of, you know, one was 8, the other one was 10, and they're, you know, they're trash talking. My brother-in-law loves it. My sister is like, boys, it's only a game, you know. And I used to timekeep kids hockey, so anytime there was a blank spot in the assist column because they were both goalies. I always put their number in there so then the coach would be reading off goals scored by John, assisted by Fred and Joseph. The coach would look at me, look at the score sheet and smile and say, must be great having an uncle as a scorekeeper because you know you're always going to get at least 1 point.
Touche.
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
We were talking about Michael Jackson the other day and it's always interesting to get your perspective from Montreal. And we see the rest of the world reacting, prisoners doing dances and videotaping them and all kinds of stuff. There was a big party at the Apollo in the United States in Harlem.
Right.
And now it's been a couple of days. What's the reaction? What are you reading in the papers in Montreal?
It's, with all due respect, may he rest in peace, it is no longer the front page story.
Ooh, okay.
I mean, The plane crash that happened in the Indian Ocean was...
Terrible.
Yeah, because one of the people who was killed was Canadian, so that's why, you know. And by the way, it's now after midnight, so today is our Independence Day in Canada, by the way.
Well, happy Independence Day.
Thank you, or as we like to call it, Canada Day.
Canada Day.
Right.
Yeah.
And okay, I won't mention that sport that everyone's getting tired of hearing, but today's also their, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway,
yes.
But I mean, in the entertainment pages, it's still getting a lot of ink. Like in Toronto, someone wrote a big mural, you know, Michael Jackson, 1958, 2009, you know, R.I.P. And in Toronto, just like that, people got together and they had a, you know, they had a massive, you know, moonwalk. But I mean, with all due respect, Mr. Jackson, how long is this going to go on for?
Wait, exactly. I mean, but it's been so dominant. I mean, in the U.S., it's been incredibly dominant. I'm going to bring up hockey for a minute, so everybody else listening across America, just put your fingers in your ears. The mighty board man, the technical maestro of the show, Matt Johnson, wants to know, what are the chances of the sack man leaving the Habs?
I just heard that. And, well, first of all, the Canadians did make a trade today. They got Scott Gomez from the New York Rangers.
Ooh, that's a good pickup.
Yeah, they gave, and in return, you know, some minor leaguers, and the Canadians gave up a guy named Chris Higgins. Okay.
I don't know much about Chris Higgins.
Okay, anyway, Sackman, okay, I mean, he's getting up there. What would be a perfect fit? And I said this from the end of the season. I think he'd be a perfect fit in Minnesota. Because they've got some young players, he's got the experience, and he is getting their NHL years, and he'd be playing with his brother, Mikko.
Oh, yeah, so there we go again with the sibling thing.
Yeah.
See, it all comes around in a very nice package. Slam it, Sammy, thanks so much. You take care, partner.
You bet. You too, gorgeous.
All right, thank you. You know, I was just talking at the top of the hour. We were mentioning a couple of things that are making huge news. One of them, speaking of Minnesota, is yes, finally, after 8 months, they do officially have a senator in place. Al Franken headed to Washington. How does he make the transition from comedian to politician? A lot of people will be watching.